Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome in to another edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson as we get to the end of the week. And really, it's our last day without professional sports, at least for the time being here in the country. Travis, I know you're not a big UFC guy, but do you have interest in tomorrow's event, knowing that we finally have professional sports back?
Yeah, I'm excited. This is something I'm probably going to check out. Finally, we get something, you know, besides old games, the Bulls documentary, we get some UFC, so I'm excited for it.
Has it been that bad for you?
Yeah, it sucks. Let's be honest. It hasn't been. I've been watching a lot of movies, and I'm getting to the point where I need sports.
Yeah, I definitely miss sports. Don't get me wrong. It has been refreshing, I think, over the last few weeks. And look, we've gone way too long. Don't get me wrong. 50 days, 50-something days without professional sports. But it has been refreshing to get history lessons on things. But I love to read. I love to watch documentaries. And without sports being around, we've had to really watch a lot of things like that. Now, I'm not saying that's a great replacement, because it's not, but there has been enough out there to occupy us. Now, I think it's definitely time as we approach that two-month period. Again, last Saturday, it wasn't good. We didn't have the Kentucky Derby. We didn't have the NBA playoffs. You know, tonight, we could have a Game 7 in the opening round of the NBA playoffs tonight.
Yeah, possible Game 7. You could possibly have a Game 7 in hockey as well. So a lot of things that we're missing out on. You know, there's nothing more, you know, exciting in sports than Game 7s.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, we're missing out on some major events. Like I said, last week, we typically have a major boxing fight, Cinco de Mayo weekend. We didn't have that, but we will get the UFC tomorrow. We talked to Larry Pepe yesterday on the show about it. If you got the craving for UFC and you want to preview tomorrow night's cards, you can go to CastleCountryRadio.com and check that out right there. You can listen on demand anytime. We talked UFC on the show yesterday. Last night, we got the release of all NFL schedules, and now it's fun to go back and look at, you know, maybe predict how things are going to play out. A lot of exciting matchups. We know that the Kansas City Chiefs, defending Super Bowl champs, are going to open up the season. They'll do that against the new-look Houston Texans in what should be the final year of the Bill O'Brien era, if he gets through an entire year. But there are some great, great matchups. I mean, Chiefs-Saints Week 15 could be the last time we see Drew Brees in a marquee matchup. Chiefs-Ravens, that's fantastic. I talked about the Texans and Chiefs to start off the season. The Chiefs have a lot of marquee matchups. Bucks-Saints Week 1, everybody's going to be interested in seeing Tom Brady in a Tampa Bay uniform. And to boot, it's a divisional game for the Buccaneers out of the gate. So there's some really, really fun matchups early. And I think that's what this is all about as far as the NFL schedule is concerned. Look, it's as fair as it can be. You're going to play four first-place teams, four second, four third, four fourths. But you just like to see when the games fall. That's what's interesting. I like Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Week 1.
I do, too. And you and I have been talking about it for, you know, months when the Rams opened their new stadium. We knew Dallas would be that game.
Yeah.
That's the favor that they threw, you know, Jerry Jones's way. So the Rams, of course, are going to get that opening home game, the Chargers the following week. But, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of exciting games, and I can't wait for that Bucs-Saints Week 1 matchup. Packers-Vikings also Week 1. I think those two play twice in the first 7 weeks, so interesting.
I'll tell you one of the things that caught my eye, the New England Patriots. They get 5 primetime games without Brady, without Gronk.
Yeah, it's nuts. Jared Stidham, hopefully, you know, for the case of TV networks that, you know, he's around. Maybe if he gets hurt or something, that's a moot point putting the Patriots on.
They have two LA games back-to-back weeks. So they get to stay out there in between, right? They get the Rams and the Chargers. Second half road games. They get Houston, LA, and Miami. No road games in the cold weather. I know that a lot of people are going to pick Buffalo in the AFC East, but New England's schedule sets up very well for the Patriots this year.
It does. The Patriots, somehow, they always, you know, benefit from the schedule. It always breaks their way.
Yeah, and I think it does again this year. Now, earlier in the week on Wednesday, I talked about the Raiders. I thought the Raiders have the most fascinating home schedule of anyone in the league. They didn't get the 2020 NFL draft. That was a big deal. So what does the NFL do? Well, they give them four primetime games. One of those, a Monday night game that's going to be a simulcast between ABC and ESPN. And then immediately after that, they have a couple of other really marquee games. I think the Raiders have an incredibly difficult schedule going back to last year. They did not play a game in Oakland in a very, very long time. And this year, they have four primetime games all in Las Vegas. I think the NFL did a favor to the Raiders as well.
Yeah, all the marquee matchups for them at home, for that buzz, for that new stadium, you know, moving to Vegas. So the NFL did them a favor, and it should be exciting. I think Tom Brady and the Patriots, or not the Patriots, but the Bucks are there. So a lot of people probably, you know, in this area are going to make a trip down.
And maybe we'll take a look at over-unders, some of the big over-unders that stand out if we have time a little bit later on in the show. Here's what we have coming up. We're going to be joined by author and well-known fitness coach, Martin Rooney. Now, Martin Rooney has a new book out. It's called Coach to Coach, and the foreword is by Phil Sims. I think this is going to be a really interesting interview. He has coached athletes from the UFC to the NFL to Major League Baseball. If you're into coaching at all, I think you'll really, really enjoy this interview. I think you'll really enjoy the book as well. Martin Rooney is going to join us next segment here on Drive Time Sports. And then we're going to catch up with a good friend of mine, Jabari Davis. Jabari Davis of Hoops Mag, the podcast, Dunks and Discourse. He's going to join us on the show. We'll talk Utah Jazz. We'll talk storylines in the NBA and the idea of rebooting the 2020 season. So that's what's coming up here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports news break coming up, and then we'll dive into it with author Martin Rooney. It's coming up here on Drive Time Sports.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Zero name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Excited to bring in our next guest. Well-known coach throughout the country, Martin Rooney, also an author. He's penned 9 books, and his latest hit bookstore shelves in March. It's called Coach to Coach, an empowering story about how to be a great leader. And there's a foreword at the beginning of this book by Phil Sims. I think you'll really enjoy this, especially if you have any interest in coaching kids. A lot of endorsements on this book from some high-profile athletes and coaches as well. Joining us right now again, Martin Rooney over the phone. Martin, a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Hey, my pleasure. And for all the listeners out there, I hope everybody is safe, and I'm hoping that we pump you up a little bit today.
Yeah, definitely. You're definitely a great speaker. And of course, for those who don't know who Martin is, once we're done with this interview, I definitely encourage you to check out some of Martin's work on YouTube. You can see Martin actually speak in the empowerment. Martin, let's talk. First off, I want to get an introduction for you. For those who don't know who Martin Rooney is, I mentioned you have trained some of the greatest athletes in the world. If it's NFL, if it's UFC, Major League Baseball, NBA, Olympians, you have trained some of the best athletes in the world. So give me a background on what you bring to the table from a resume standpoint.
Well, wow. Well, hey, I'll keep it brief, but I was originally an orthopedic therapist. Interesting. I lived out in Utah for a while because I was on the U.S. bobsled team, too. And using those two experiences, I wanted to take fitness and sport to the next level. And I got an opportunity to work with hundreds of NFL combine guys and then coach in the NFL for a number of years. And then I was lucky to be one of the first coaches ever for UFC and MMA fighters. And that led to books, and those books led to seminars, and those seminars led to now hundreds of Training for Warriors facilities around the world that are helping 10,000 people a day still, even in this crisis, to improve not only their external fitness, but their internal health too.
Yeah, when you talk about being a coach at the Combine, you talk about UFC and having these centers throughout the country. Give me a couple of names, some of the guys that maybe inspired you a little bit. You were coaching them, but you found inspiration from some of these athletes, some well-known athletes. Can you think of a few?
Absolutely. Well, hey, right off the bat, Phil Simms, who wrote the foreword for my new book, he was a training partner and, you know, Super Bowl MVP, and I had the opportunity not only to train his sons, but almost become part of the family. And as a result of that, he had so many great lessons for me over the years of all the things that he had learned. And then, obviously, what comes to mind is Henzo Gracie of the Gracie family, where he gave me my opportunity to, again, be part of their family and get on board with the UFC before it was even a well-known sport. And it really allowed me to build the organization that I have today. And another one that really sticks out is Howie Long's son, Chris Long, who, when I worked with him, he was second pick overall in the NFL draft, went on to an amazing career, two Super Bowl championships, NFL Man of the Year, and we're still in touch today. And, you know, if anybody knows, he gave away his salary his final year to help education in America. So some really great things where not only was I the coach, but sometimes I was the student too.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up Chris Long, because in doing research for the interview today, I came across your relationship with Chris Long, and in fact, he gives you quite the endorsement, I know, at the beginning of the book, and this is a guy that I absolutely admire. I mean, you talk about being the second pick in the NFL draft. He goes to the St. Louis Rams. I mean, that was a really hard time, I guarantee, in his career, playing for a team that was underachieving year in and year out, and then he has success towards the end of it. But you mentioned the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which is just fantastic. I mean, that's what you play the game for, right? So when you talk about these athletes that you've had this interaction with and you've had the ability to coach, it kind of all comes to fruition, right, with the new book, Coach to Coach.
Yeah, well, actually, what happened was I started to see that it wasn't about the exercises that I was teaching or what I knew about the sports. It was how I was connecting with them and getting them to do the things they knew they should be doing. And I started teaching courses around the world on coaching instead of fitness. And everybody kept saying, you've got to write this book. You've got to write this book. And finally, I sat down to it. I sent it into the top publishing house, Wiley. And I was expecting my rejections, but nope. In one day, they said this is the best one they've read, and they got to have it. And they fast-tracked it. And, you know, for, hey, whether we think it's tough or not, it just came out in this last month. But I think I could never have predicted how important the message would be for people right now.
I promise the listeners, when you pick up the book and you just see the endorsements right off of the gate, right out of the gate from some of the coaches, Lou Holtz was one that stood out to me, Martin, right out of the gate. Lou Holtz talking about how inspiration it's going to be. You're going to learn a thing or two when you read this book. And there's a million of them right as you get started. So give me the basis of the book and some of the, I guess, the little tidbits that you made sure had to go in from what you've picked up over the last, well, however long it's been, decades that you've been coaching.
Sure. Well, hey, like you mentioned, first off, hey, you know, Lou Holtz, coaches like Dan Gable and Rudy from the movie Rudy said it's like the best story he's read. And why I say that is this book is not a textbook. It is a story. It's done in the classic parable or fable model, but to teach really important lessons. And that's why I think so many people are connecting with it, because it's an easy read, something people are getting through quick and getting a sense of accomplishment, but really leaving with some important lessons. And in particular, I think the biggest one right off the bat is everyone has learned right now that everyone is a coach. Whether you're a mom, dad, husband, wife, brother, sister, teammate, coworker, you're there to coach somebody else. And if you don't know how to do it as well as you could, this book has those answers. And I guess maybe one of the most powerful ones that I can share that I think everybody needs right now is what I call the five most powerful words a coach can say. And that is, I am proud of you. And right now, more than ever, I think people need to hear that from the people that they think are their coaches. And, if the book just gets more people to do that, it will have done its job.
Again, our guest right now is Martin Rooney. He is the author of the new book, Coach to Coach. Martin, before we continue to talk about other aspects of the book, I did read an interview with you that was done a little bit before the book was released, if I remember correctly. And I think this will definitely, I think this we can connect this to a lot of people specifically in this area. You've coached some of the greatest athletes in the world, but you said in this interview that you learned the most and felt like you made the biggest impact when you were coaching youth sports, high school athletics.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, this is a message out to everyone out there that's either a youth coach, middle school coach, high school coach. I believe you are the unsung heroes. I am a high school track coach now. I was the middle school track coach in our town for years. I've spent more time. It's great to talk about all the big famous names and the Olympic gold medals and world champs, but I've spent more of my time coaching high school athletes, and I believe that's where the biggest impacts are made. And when people ask me, who do you think are the greatest coaches, Martin? Well, I say they're the ones you're never going to have heard of. They're the moms and the dads and these youth coaches that created that spark and inspired that passion into the person that eventually goes on to be the superstar that we hear about. So without a doubt, I learned more from coaching younger athletes because that's where they had to be molded. That's where the real impact was made. And those stories are what I share in Coach to Coach.
I know it's a very vague question, but I got to ask you, turning your natural skills and talents into your own unique coaching style, that's very vague. What do you mean by that? And give me an example of some of the success stories that you have seen from someone who maybe had a difficult time relating the idea of being a coach, but use their own personal skills, someone that you've talked to that has now evolved as a coach using their own personal skills.
Yeah, well, I guess what I meant by that is everybody has a different style. So, you know, this book is not, oh, when someone does this, you do that. And hey, as everybody can probably hear, I'm a pretty enthusiastic guy. That doesn't mean you have to be veins in your neck on fire and it's the only way you can coach somebody up. So what I mean is whether someone is an introvert or an extrovert, there are specific skills that you need to use or the coach has to have in order to make that connection to hold someone accountable. And what I'm talking about there is whether it be your empathy or even your expertise, the knowing of what you're supposed to be coaching, these are all critical things. But an example that obviously comes to mind would be, hey, I've watched coaches that are much quieter, coaches that do not yell or have to give a tremendous pep talk, but they still make an incredible connection with those athletes and then get that end result. So ultimately what I'm saying here is there are a lot of ways to skin the cat when we're talking about coaching, but there are a lot of principles about coaching that if you want to be great, you have to have them. And that's what I tried to outline in Coach to Coach.
I know you mentioned Phil Simms, of course, gives the foreword to this, and I have read the foreword, and it's fantastic right off of the bat to get something out of Phil Simms. You mentioned how close you were to Phil. What did that mean to you to have Phil write this, put this in the book, and really in the terms that he used, talking about the impact that you have had and how he wanted you to coach his kids? I mean, that speaks volumes.
Yeah, well, it was not only is it humbling, but really it's a reminder of the importance of developing relationships as a coach. And for me to have gained his trust and then the kids' trust where they both went on to be NFL players, it's amazing. And I'm still in touch with all of them today. So coaching, ultimately, it's this reminder about relationships. And this is very important, too. The coach isn't there to get a pat on the back. The coach is there to give one. And you know what? 20 years later, after all the pats on the back I gave, you know what? I got one back from those guys. And I think that's what it's about, that coaching is a service and you got to give. And four words really come to mind, and that is, it's about others, or, you know, it is about others. And a lot of times I need coaches to understand that you are there to help somebody else, not to be put on a pedestal. And you know what? That foreword not only hammered home that I've been doing it right for a long time, but again, it was a testament to all the hard work and effort that someday will come back to repay you.
Martin Rooney, again, our guest right now. We are talking about his latest book. It was released in March. It's called Coach to Coach, an empowering story about how to be a great leader. Martin, this is probably a really basic, ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Define a leader for me and for the listeners. What is a leader?
Wow. Well, yeah, that was a tough one. But I guess what I would say is, you know, and using the idea from the book, a leader is someone who takes somebody where they want to go, inspires them to take the actions and holds them accountable to get there. And, I've tried to, instead of taking a very complex idea where obviously I've got hundreds of books on leadership on my shelves, that would pretty much be it, that the leader is there to inspire, to get the best out of someone else, to take them and everybody else where they really want to go. And that would be the best one I could do on the spot like that.
Yeah, I know. It's a very vague, tough question. I appreciate you answering that. I have to point out that you have written many books before Coach to Coach. In fact, you have 9 now to your name. Is that correct?
Yes, but Coach to Coach was a departure from some of those other books, where the original books I did were fitness and exercise-based, which, hey, they sold hundreds of thousands of copies in multiple languages around the world. But I really wanted to do something that would connect with a larger audience, something that was universal for everyone. And now with the thousands of books that are already out there and the emails that I'm receiving from men and women from all walks of life, I know with Coach to Coach, I hit the mark.
No question about it. Again, Martin Rooney, our guest right now. Martin, it's been a pleasure to chat with you over the last 15 minutes or so. Before I let you go, you got to give me all the basic information about the book, where you can get it, and of course, your presence online, because, well, you're everywhere. If you want to watch Martin speak, if you just want to read, I mean, wherever, you can find tons of Martin Rooney online.
Yeah, so if anybody does a Google search, you'll find me. But, hey, I'm on Instagram as TheMartinRooney. Everybody can find me on social media and Facebook, where I'm always putting information out there. But if anybody would like the newsletters that I put out on a weekly basis that are helping tens of thousands of people, you can go to trainingforwarriors.com to check that out. And, hey, Coach to Coach, it's through Wiley Publishing. The best place to get it is on Amazon. That's where everybody around the world is getting it now. And they'll have it to your door in a couple of days. And I promise it won't even take you a couple more to read it. And I'm hoping this book will not only be a great gift to the listener, but also something they go back to again and again like an old friend.
Well, Martin, it was definitely a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you again for taking out the time, and I'm definitely looking forward to reading the book now that I have my copy. I really appreciate everything, and especially your time.
My pleasure, and hey, I know you're going to love it. I'm looking forward to hearing from you what you think.
Definitely looking forward to speaking with you again as soon as I finish the read. Again, that's Martin Rooney joining us here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll have NBA basketball talk coming up. Jabari Davis will join us right after this.
With the 6th pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
Back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. End of the week, let's wrap up by talking about some NBA basketball. One of my favorite conversations to have, and now we'll bring in one of my favorite guests. He joins us periodically here on the show, Jabari Davis. Jabari's joined us for the last, 10 or so years. We'll talk about what he's doing in the world of sports today, and of course, we'll talk NBA basketball. Jabari, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time.
Pleasure is always mine, Jordan. I appreciate you having me again.
It's a pleasure. It's been a little while since we have actually talked. I know we talked at the beginning of the season. We talked about the NBA, and now here we are, May 8th. We're not talking about a compelling Game 6 or Game 7 tonight. Instead, we're waiting to see if the NBA basketball season is going to resume. I know people in the state of Utah are on the edge of their seat because it was one of the most exciting seasons that the Utah Jazz have had in quite some time. But Jabari, I got to get a sense from you. Do you believe we'll get a finish to this 2020 season?
You know, I'm not going to lie to you or, you know, BS you, or, you know, excuse this, you know, excuse the terminology, but I have no idea. A lot of it seemingly coming from, like, you know, bloggers or, you know, even hosts, you know, podcast hosts or radios, it's wishful thinking. So it at least appears as though they're leaning towards that. Because, to be honest with you, it makes no sense at all to put it out there like, hey, you know, we're going to start getting folks back into the buildings. It actually it would be a detriment to what they're trying to do if they didn't at least have the intention of coming back. So when this all started, I thought, well, I hope we get a couple games. Now, I think if they do come back, it's going to be basically a run-up of a couple, you know, maybe a couple, like,
preseason or exhibition type games, and then we get the playoffs. Might not be fair to the folks that were battling and in the nine spots or within range, of the bottom of the playoffs. And of course, there's no perfect way to handle this because there'll also be people to say like, oh, well, we're in the seventh spot. We could have made all of that aside. If we get basketball again, I think we all just need to be happy and appreciative.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier in the week in regards to Major League Baseball, and I think you can put Rob Manfred and you could put Adam Silver in the same conversation. These are two different types of commissioners. They want to press the envelope a little bit, right? They want to modernize the game. I mean, we've seen rumblings of Adam Silver talking about implementing a midseason tournament, maybe changing the playoff format. We've heard the same thing on the front of Major League Baseball with Rob Manfred. And so I keep going back to it. If there was ever a time to work out a play-in game type format to get us to the postseason, this would be it, right? There's no right or wrong way to do things at this point in the time if we resume the season. And I think with a guy like Adam Silver, who has proven that he wants to modernize things, he wants to change things up, this could be a dream scenario for the commissioner to see if something like that would work.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I hadn't thought about it like that, but actually comparing it to just like with the, with the All-Star game, obviously that took place prior to things really jumping off here in the States. Where I was asked about that question, and as a matter of fact, we discussed it because it was, obviously a bit after Kobe passed and whatnot. But just like that, where initially I looked at it and said, it ultimately worked. And you're exactly right. This is the perfect time because it's kind of like, hey, there's no rules right now, guys. Let's just see. Let's just get it out there and see what is a possibility. Of course, I'm not trying to be insensitive to all of the still very serious, risks and concerns, regarding this nature. But like I said, all of this is hypothetical. And if they do get back, I will be ecstatic.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the changes made at the All-Star game, it worked. I wasn't really all for it. The only thing that I would love to see is go back to an East versus West format. Maybe you can call me old man basketball for that. I don't know. But I thought that the changes that Adam Silver made at the All-Star game, they all worked. And that leads me to believe that we may get something, right? We may get some sort of a conclusion. And the one thing I keep pointing back to, the idea that the combine and the idea that the draft has been pushed back, that is a good thing. Right, the further that gets pushed back, the idea is we're going to wrap up this season because you can't have a draft lottery until the standings are officially set. So I would be a little bit more concerned if the lottery and the draft wasn't pushed back, Jabari.
And that's another great point. Let's keep it real about this. As much as the NBA has, and professional sports in general, it appears that all of them have been smart about this and cautious, as they absolutely should have. There's so much money on the line that I'm not surprised that it keeps on getting pushed back. And let's be honest, I expect it. Like when you're talking about hundreds of millions and billions of dollars of revenue that's not coming in, there I have no problem whatsoever with them pushing it back and things of that nature. But to your point, I agree. If they had just said, hey, look, the draft is going to be on this day, well, then we kind of know, we already know what the deal is. The fact that they pushed that back, it at least appears that they're leaning in that direction.
Again, Jabari Davis, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. Jabari, I know that this season has just been bananas. I mean, I really don't know how else you could describe it. I mean, it goes beyond the stoppage in early March, just everything that has happened. You talked about the passing of Kobe Bryant. When you look at the way the offseason went down and some of the changes, I mean, all the way around, this has just been an insanely weird year for basketball, 2019 to 2020. I mentioned Jazz fans and Jazz fans being extremely excited because they had a great offseason. At times, it looked like it paid dividends in the regular season. At times, it looked to be a disaster, quite frankly. What was the best storyline for you throughout the 2019-2020 season? Forget about everything, all the negativity that's going on. What was the best storyline that if we don't get a finish to the season, you're going to look back on and say, man, I wanted to see how this chapter ended?
Honestly, it's impossible for me to narrow it down. So, I kind of straddle the fence on these things and cheat a little bit. So here I go. I loved kind of all of the various storylines, like the surprise in Memphis. The fact that John Morant was able to hit the ground running. I loved that Zion was able to come back and show us, like, okay, yeah, no, he's probably going to be legit. I really wanted to see that MVP race. Now, to be clear, Giannis was the MVP to that point, but obviously it wasn't a foregone conclusion given the fact that LeBron was stepping it up. He was great all season, but those last 5-6 maybe even 10 games, you could see that he had ramped it up. Last year a lot was made of him saying like, hey, I'm in playoff mode, I'm playoff LeBron, and then like a couple weeks later he was out of the lineup and people got their keys in. But now we're seeing, as Lakers folks that are Lakers fans are seeing what that actually what that looked like. So I hated seeing that because I think that would have been a fun conversation if LeBron would have been able to continue playing at that level, as well as the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken, they were within like a game and a half, maybe two games, and lost Colin. That could have been fun. So I, honestly, when it comes to storylines, in particular, you're there in the Jazz market. You hated seeing the way that ended. So in particular, I'm hoping that we can see them come back so that we can have a bit of a buffer between, like, hey, this really, this really bad circumstance took place, and everybody pointing a finger at Gobert, to the next season. I hope that the Jazz are able to, get into the playoffs, show what they can do, regardless of how far they go. And like I said, we have that, that bit of buffer.
You brought up Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. I was going to get to this at some point in time during the segment because, again, it's just a fun Utah topic.
Mm-hmm.
You were Dennis Lindsay. You were the general manager, vice president of the Utah Jazz. Justin Zanuck or Dennis Lindsay. You can fill either which role you want here. Rudy Gobert is eligible for a max contract, a super max contract that's going to pay him $240 million over the course of this deal. Do you A, keep Rudy Gobert, let him become a free agent, and let him walk? Do you B, try to trade Rudy Gobert? Or do you C, sign Rudy Gobert? Which route do you go?
Okay, so it's based upon what I would have done prior to all this. I'm going to keep it real with you. I saw a little bit of this, going around, kind of at the time that all this broke. Like, oh, now they're going to get rid of Rudy Gobert. No, it has. If they would even base, and I do not believe that they would, but if they would base things upon that and an instant reaction, which obviously we've seen has died down, and obviously we've seen that regardless of whether he was the outbreak guy or the secondary guy, it's not his fault. He's just a linchpin. In terms of the narrative, if they were to do that, then I would have a problem with him, because I think that this front office, the higher ups, within the Jazz, I think that they're highly intelligent and very good at what they do. I don't think that they'll base it on that. So me personally, I hope that made Jazz fans feel good, because now I'm going to make you feel bad. Me personally, given the fact that I do not believe that they are a true championship contender, I think they're very good, and I think, of course, if anything could happen, if the right things broke the pot, the perfect way for a team, but given the fact that I do not believe that they're a true championship contender with that group, and you know you're going to be in a position where you have to pay Donovan Mitchell the same type of situation here in a couple years, I would personally consider trying to sell high on Gobert and moving along. If they've made the determination that Rudy Gobert is the franchise guy, and that potentially down the line they've got a little bit more time to make the decision with Donovan Mitchell, and his potential trade value would be higher down the line, well then of course you could still go ahead and roll the dice and pay Rudy Gobert and reassess things down the line. Me personally, again, I would probably sell high on Gobert, because I do not believe, while he's phenomenal and obviously one of the great, defensive greats in the league, during this time, I don't necessarily believe that a championship contender in today's NBA, and given the way that it appears to be going, is going to be centered around a non-new center. If it's a traditional center, more of a traditional center like Rudy Gobert is, I do not believe that you can build an actual title contender with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a fair take on it. In today's game of basketball, I had someone tell me about 2 weeks ago, a Jazz fan told me, Rudy Gobert is a top five player in Utah Jazz history.
Oh, okay.
And I started thinking about that, and I had to, I guess you have to think about it. Maybe it's a fair argument. Right? Like, we would have to sit here and really start dissecting Utah Jazz history if we really wanted to get a clear, if I wanted to present a clear, viable argument. This is just strictly off the top of my head. You know what? You may have a fair argument that he's a top five player in Jazz history, but in my mind, that's still irrelevant to the conversation today on if you should pay him the Supermax.
Exactly. And, you know, as I thought about it, I was like, you know what? That's less offensive than I would have considered. Because, obviously, you got John Stockton, you got Karl Malone. You know, I personally feel that Jeff Hornacek, was really, really solid at the time.
Sure.
Now
yep.
I'm drawing a blank. You know, Mark Eaton, while people will laugh at the fact that he was kind of like, you know, now he looks like a big stiff, he was a highly effective player for, you know, for that organization for, you know, extended period of time. Pistol Pete, now are we not considering that? Because, if I'm not mistaken, it came prior to the move.
I think you have to consider Pistol Pete. One player that I don't think gets enough love in the state of Utah, Adrian Dantley. I think there's a fair argument that the Jazz wouldn't even be in the state of Utah right now if it wasn't for Adrian Dantley, right? Of course, Larry H. Miller as well, but Adrian Dantley's got to be in that conversation. But again, as we're throwing out players, if we're talking about is Pistol Pete in this conversation, let's put AD, let's put Jeff Hornacek. It's still he's still floating around that top five, isn't he?
Yeah, you know what, he is. But to your point, you're exactly right. While yes, he may be in that range, and he act, you know, and if you're a Jazz fan out there, you're like, no, stop talking about our players. He's absolutely one of those guys. Even if that's the case, you still have to make a decision for the future and not, you know, the history.
Jabari Davis, our guest right now. Jabari, I know you do some great things as far as podcasting is concerned. You got the Dunks and Discourse, so go ahead and tell me about where the fans and the listeners can find you and where, of course, they can listen to basketball on demand anytime.
Well, again, I really do appreciate you having me, Jordan. Obviously, we're friends in our personal lives, but it really is phenomenal to be on here with you and be able to discuss a little bit of basketball during these times. So thank you again for having me. For the folks out there, if you have not been completely disgusted by the things that I've said, or even if you have been and you want to just continue to make those listens as well, Dunks and Discourse, it's on iTunes, Stitcher, all of those good things. We're a part of the Blue Wire podcast network. It's with my guy, Josh Eberle. We do it because we love it. If you've got feedback, of course you can provide that, whether it's in the comments or in the reviews of the show or on Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA.
Jabari, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time. Stay safe, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Without a doubt. Thank you.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We're back to close out this week of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I said we'd talk over-unders. I wish we had more time for this. We'll dig into it next week for sure. But now that the schedule is out, it's always fun to take a look at, okay, this could be a win, this could be a win. And so Travis picked three teams, I picked three teams. I'm going to throw the over-unders that are set. And Travis, we're going to start with the Las Vegas Raiders. This was one of the teams that you threw out. We'll start with the Raiders because this, is, of course, is a Raider station. KOAL, we're a Raider affiliate. Over-under wins for the Raiders right now is set at 7.5. What do you like, over or under?
Well, I'm going under because I think that in that division that the Raiders are the worst team in that division. And I just don't see any possible way, looking over at their schedule, how this team gets to 8 wins, which you would have to do to have the over at 7.5. I think this team is under. I think this is a 5-11, 6-10 team.
I don't believe the Raiders are the worst team in the NFC West. I believe that honor goes to the Denver Broncos. I do believe they are the worst team in the West. I think the Chargers are going to be dynamic defensively, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. But looking at the Raiders' schedule, we went over the home games. So they get New Orleans at home. It's a tough game. They get Buffalo. They get Tampa Bay. Of course, they get the Broncos, Chiefs, and Chargers, but they get the Colts, and they get the Dolphins. I mean, that's not an easy home schedule.
Yeah, and the road schedule is, at Carolina, at New England, at the Chiefs, Browns, at the Chargers, at the Falcons, at the Jets, and at Denver. So
it's tough.
It's a very tough schedule. I think that's a 5-11, 6-10 team. I'll take the under.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's over-under. And again, you know that the betting odds on Tampa is going to be through the roof. Tampa right now is set at 9.5, over-under.
Give me the over. I think Tampa Bay is legit. I think this team has a real possibility of playing in the Super Bowl in their home stadium. I really do. I will take the over on that. I like the Bucks to, play in the NFC Championship game. That's if, all things considered, they're healthy. But I will take the over.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Tampa Bay. I don't think Tampa Bay is the best team in that division. I'm still not picking them to win the South. I still believe it goes through New Orleans. 9.5 is a fair number because I think they get to 10 wins. I think that's possible. But again, looking at the schedule and looking at the division, I think Carolina is going to be much improved. They're a 500 squad. I don't like Atlanta. They're the worst team in that division. But the division's not easy. So I like it that it's set at 9.5 because I do believe that Tampa Bay can get the 10 wins. Let's move over to the Denver Broncos. I know we are in Bronco country here. The Broncos 7.5, and I'll tell you right now, I'm going to take the under. I don't think that Denver gets to 8 wins. That half is the big difference maker for me. I think they're the worst team in the AFC West. And that's not a knock. It's a tough division, but I think the Broncos finish with 6-7 wins. 7.5, it's too much for me.
7.5 odds, you know, to win the AFC, they're 21. Do they make the playoffs? No. 7.5, I think they get to 8-8. I do.
That half makes it difficult.
It does. I'm going to say over. I will take the over. I will get Denver to 8-8.
How about the defending NFC champions, the San Francisco 49ers? And I know we have to be really vague here just because we're running out of time, but San Francisco, 10.5, that's the over-under.
I think San Francisco takes a slight step back. The half, like you said, makes things difficult. I will take the under because I don't think they get to 11.
So who wins the division?
I like Seattle. I do. I think those teams in that division are going to beat up on one another. The Cardinals are much improved. The Rams are still going to be a team that you have to, you know, difficult to play defensively. Seattle's still good. And San Francisco, I mean, that division's rough.
I could be completely wrong here. I think the Rams are going to be much better than people think.
I'm taking the over.
I'm taking the over on the Rams 8.5. I think the Rams have a legitimate chance to win that division. I still think that the odds-on favorite has got to be San Francisco. But the Rams, they had a very quietly good offseason. And I think that you're going to see a different look from this team. 10.5, I can see San Francisco getting to 11. I think they win the division. 11-5 may win you that division, considering the difficulty of it. But again, Seattle's going to be good. I think they finish with a winning record. I think the Rams finish with a winning record.
And the Cardinals are going to be right there. I mean, that's going to be a pesky team.
5-win, 6-win team.
I mean, the Cardinals are over under 7.5. I'm not touching that. I'm not going over. I'm going to go under. But that division's rough, and you've seen it last year. They beat up on one another.
We'll end with this one. The New England Patriots, 9, over under.
Under. Under. Absolutely under on that one. I think New England... That division, the AFC East division, it's, you know, balanced, I think. Miami's much improved. I'm taking the under on New England.
Yeah, gosh, that's a tough one. Nine's tough.
Nine's tough. I'm taking the under. I think that team's 7-8 wins.
Out of time of this week of Drive Time Sports. We'll dig deeper into these over-unders next week. I want to thank Martin Rooney and also Jabari Davis for taking out the time to join us. You can listen to Drive Time Sports on demand. Do not forget at CastleCountryRadio.com. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Busker. Be safe. We're out.